You're listening to a podcast from York City Church. If you like what you hear and you'd like to find out more, please visit our website at www.yorkcitychurch.org.uk.
Hi, church. All right. My name is Sarah. I have been coming to this church and living in England for 1 year, 5 months. I know, crazy. So if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to see if my clicker works. Can we pray together? Father, prepare hearts for this message. Be with Sarah as she speaks it. Let the words be from you. Open the hearts and minds of those who need to hear from you. Amen. Okay. So when I was asked if I would be willing to speak today, I was like, ooh, I do have a story that I could probably tell. So today I'm going to be telling you a story from my own life mixed in with some biblical stories as well. So it's going to be a very story-themed message. But this is also supposed to be, you know, like a sermon. So purely for my own benefit and enjoyment, I am now calling this a stormin'. Thank you. You're stuck with it now. It's a stormin' for the next 15 minutes. So, the first fascinating story that I'm going to be telling you today is about my last trip to the dentist. Ooh, is right. Be excited. All right. The last time I went to the dentist was in the UK about a year ago. And as I was walking home from the dentist, this thought entered my head. And immediately, the weight of the Holy Spirit sat on my chest, so much so that I stopped walking. So I'm going to share that thought with you, because church, this is for you. It goes like this. How many lies do I believe are true because an authority told me that they were? You know, it's pretty dramatic. So I'm going to give you a little bit more context into this trip to the dentist. The last time I had been to the dentist was many years before. It was in North Carolina where I was living, and the dentist came and I sat down and he took the x-ray and he was like, Sarah, all your teeth have cavities. They are in really bad shape. In fact, this one here, we need to shave down and put a fake tooth on it. And I was like, whoa, I should have flossed more. So I went through a couple months of several trips to the dentist, and he did about a third of all of my many, many, many cavities. And then I moved cities, and I was like, you know, I really need to get this finished, but I don't want to. I'd had a lot of sensitivity, and so I put it off. I get to the UK, and I'm like, I need to do it. I need to go to the dentist. And I go in, and I sit down, and the dentist is talking to his assistant, and he starts saying all these really scary words, buckle on six, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So then he sits me up, and he was like, Sarah, you're going to go and see the hygienist in a couple of weeks, and no other problems, everything's fine. And I was like, excuse me? I am moments away from dentures. What do you mean everything is fine? And I left the office, and I was walking home, and I was feeling this, you know, intense sense of relief that I wouldn't need to continue to spend thousands of dollars of my hard-earned money on my teeth, but I was also feeling a lot of betrayal. I was like, this professional came and told me that my teeth were terrible, and they were fine. So that's when this thought hit. How many lies do I believe are true because an authority told me that they were? Authorities can come in a lot of forms. It can be parents, friends, leaders, pastors, employers, doctors, strangers. You know you've had a stranger tell you something that stuck with you forever. This is not a message about not trusting people, just so you know. This is a stormin about how there's only one authority that we should be listening to, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the reality is, sometimes the loudest authority that speaks into our life and can tell us things that aren't true are ourselves. So I'm going to be a bit vulnerable with you and tell you a lie that I believed about myself for a very long time and how I came out of that. So fun fact about me, I am obsessed with the Old Testament. I love reading it. I find it really fun. And sometimes I feel a little bit guilty because I'm like, I should care this much about the New Testament. So the first time I read through the Old Testament was in like 2013. And I'm like eating it up. I'm like, this is so cool. And I get to 1 Samuel. And you cannot tell me that 1 Samuel is not the most thrilling book in the entire Bible. So what's happening? This is somewhere in between the parting of the Red Sea and David and Goliath. So in 1 Samuel, all of the Israelites are hanging out. They're settling into the promised land. They're eating the milk and the honey and all that good stuff. And they look to the north and the south and the west, and they're like, all these other people, they have kings. Those kings look really cool in their crowns. We want a king. A king is like going to be super fun for us. And God, meanwhile, is like looking down being like, I am your king. But they didn't want that. They wanted a real king. And so what ends up happening in 1 Samuel is that God gives them a king. Because you know sometimes the things that you ask for that aren't good for you, God can give you to fix what's going on in here and in here. So we're not going to read this whole thing, just the underlined part. But this is a story about how Saul was chosen out of all the people in Israel to be the king. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, where is he? And the Lord replied, he is hiding among the baggage. So they found him and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above everyone else. Then Samuel said to all the people, this is the man the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in Israel is like him. And all the people shouted, long live the king! So I read this, and I immediately identified with Saul. I was like, God, you've told me to do things. And I hid. And I was like, I'm sorry, Sarah's not home right now. Please come again later. And I identified with him so much that as I continued to read the story, I was devastated to find out that Saul actually becomes very prideful. And eventually, he comes to a bit of a sad end and is replaced with a more faithful king, David. So in that moment, I stamped on my heart one word, hider. And I told myself, Sarah, you are a hider. God tells you to do things and you hide away. And I felt a lot of guilt over that, and I held on to that for many years. Funnily enough, I never actually asked God about it or prayed about it. And years later, I was in a coffee shop on an island in Michigan, and yes, Lake Michigan does have islands. And I had my Bible open, and I was like, God, people keep talking about parts of the body and how Christians all make a different part of the body. I want to know what body part I am. Am I an elbow? Am I an eyeball? I want to know. And I started being like, God, I really want to know how you see me. What is your identity from your point of view? And God told me to open up to the smallest book in all of the Bible, Philemon. Now, if you're wondering, Sarah, we're doing a sermon series on Philemon. You planned this. This is subterfuge. No, it's not. It's poetry of the Holy Spirit. No planning was done. So the one chapter in Philemon, I'm reading through it. And again, we're only going to read the underlined part. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. So when I prayed and asked God how he saw me, he didn't see me as a hider. He saw me as a refresher. And he told me, Sarah, you are here to refresh the hearts of the Lord's people. When the Holy Spirit truth sets in, it's really good. So some versions of this actually talk about not refreshing, but encouraging the hearts of the saints. And if you weren't here last week, you really missed out because Isla gave a beautiful message about this sermon, about this passage, sorry. And she talked about how when a soldier is walking for a really long time and carrying a really heavy backpack, that feeling of taking it off and putting it down and having a rest and having a drink of water and having some food, that is the feeling that we get when we refresh the hearts of the saints. So I made this image of a really heavy backpack. And so for a long time, I had lived in the guilt of a hider. But I have a really wise aunt. And if you don't have a wise aunt, I feel really bad for you because it's amazing. My wise aunt, she once said, Sarah, there's a really big difference between guilt and conviction. Guilt is not from the Holy Spirit. It holds you back. It keeps you in the past. But conviction, it pulls you into the future. It pulls you into your calling, and it takes you away from the things you have done into God's calling and his identity for your life. And that's always stuck with me. I have never forgotten that. Because the reality is, for a long time, I was living in the guilt and shame of being a hider. But that wasn't how God saw me. And so instead of living in guilt and living in the shame of your worst moments and of your weaknesses and your downfalls, I think we should pray toward the reality and the gift of who God has called us to be. And I truly believe that as a church and as people that are serving God, we can never serve to our full potential if we are hiding away and pushing away our shame and our guilt, because our guilt will always shut us down. We should be people that pray toward conviction and pray toward our calling and our identity. So I would like to ask you as a church to really think about and maybe grapple with this week. How many lies do I believe are true because an authority told me that they were? And most often that authority is probably yourself. And if we can identify what our strengths are, what our spiritual calling is, and what our identity is, I feel like we can really live in the full truth of who we are and who God is. So with that in mind, I would like to encourage you to pray with me. So I took Psalm 67 and I turned it into a bit of a prayer. Artistic liberties have been taken. So let's pray this together, an encouragement and conviction of moving forward into the future of our true identities of who God is and how he sees us. God, be good to us, bless us, and make your face shine on us. May you be truly known here in this room and in the whole earth, that we would understand your heart and your love, that all people would truly come to know your name and your salvation. We praise you and thank you as our Father and the source of truth and all good things. Let all people be glad, for you are the King of all people, and the earth is yours. May all the world know it and praise you with delight and awe. Bless us to bless others. Bless us with the truth of who we are and the truth of who you are. Amen. All right, that is the end of the storming.